Welcome to Pottaware's Daily Podcast. I have with me KLB and Bessie, and we're here to talk about Podfic 101 and why we Podfic. So I think we're going to just start with how each of us discovered Podfic. The first time I discovered Podfic, I didn't really know what to do with it. I listened to it, I'm like, eh, that's okay, and then promptly forgot about it. And it wasn't until almost a year later that I discovered it again, and I was working this, like, order entry job, and started listening to it. I'm like, oh my god, this is amazing. I'm getting paid, and it feels like I'm just reading fanfic all day. And after that, I was basically hooked, and that was, like, 5 years ago. How about you, KLB?
Okay, so my story is a little bit, like, how I discovered Podfic almost isn't the beginning of my story. But when I was 16... In my first high school relationships, my girlfriend at the time would always read to me Harry Potter. She actually read me the entire first book of Harry Potter and the entire second book and the entire third book. And that was just like a thing that we did together. And I don't know, it was just always this really wonderful experience to like just curl up and be read to. It was one of my favorite things. And then other people throughout my life have read to me. And so, like, that experience was, like, just already something that I felt so comforting and amazing and, like, such a great way to connect to people and to connect to stories, like, through the medium of another person. So I discovered Podfic itself. It was Drop Dead Gorgeous, which is a story that I was really, really into by Maya, a.k.a. Mistful, a.k.a. Sarah Reese Brennan, who's now a published author. And I found out that there was an audio version of the story, so I listened to that, and I was so into the story that I listened to it probably, like, 8 times in a row. Like, all I did was listen, and it's, like, a 14-hour podfic or something. I listened to it just, like, constantly, and it was really just that one. And then I went straight from there to being like, okay, where's the American Idol podfic? Because now I'm in Idol fandom, and there wasn't any. So I was like, well, clearly I figured out someone needs to make it. And after like begging all of my friends to do it, I was like, fine. And I started doing it. And then once I got into it as a reader, I started listening to a ton. And it just had the same experience as having all those people read to me. Just felt like so connected to the stories and so connected to the other fans. And just like, just absolutely my favorite way to experience a story. So that's how I discovered it.
Can I ask both of you when you got into Podfic, like what, like year?
Yeah, I think Podica was before me, right?
Yeah, the very first time I heard it, I think it was like around December 2005. And then the year later when I like got it, it was December 2006.
I think mine was like 08 or something. I don't know, but whenever I made my first Podfic was like a couple months after I discovered it. I think it was like fall of 08 or 09. Maybe it was fall of 09. Not too long ago, a couple years ago.
Because I'm like, because my story, I'm like, I feel like I'm kind of like a really latecomer because I discovered Podfic, well, I can back up. I actually, technically, the first time I discovered Podfic, although it wasn't known as Podfic at the time, was I was actually involved in SBP Aloud, the Shoebox Project,
yeah,
right? Aloud. It was organized by a couple of people. There were a couple of people in charge. But I was actually one of the readers for that, and I was really involved because I was really involved in the Shoebox fandom.
Yeah.
And I was really young at the time, but I like loved that. I was like, oh my god, this is so cool. But that was like, that was like summer 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like pre Podfic. Like there weren't many other things. I think that was like one of the earliest Podfics that I know of, at least.
I didn't ever listen to it, but like I was in Shoebox Project too, and so I was aware of that. I was waiting till the end, and of course it never finished, so I never kept listening to it.
I wasn't aware of Shoebox Project, but now that I think of it, probably my precursor to, like, the full-on Podfic that I came across was in 2004 as well. I was in Queer as Folk fandom at the time, and there was this one Podfic, or she wasn't a Podficker, she was just a fan who would find Badfic and she would read it and record herself reading it. And she, it was very secretive. She shared it amongst her friends of like, listen to me read about, you know, Justin being a hooker and poor beaten up Justin. And they were quite amusing. And I remember listening to some of those, but I wouldn't call them podfics exactly. I guess they are, but they were generally not the whole story, just little scenes from it.
Yeah. So I got, so I was involved in that, but I really, I mean, it was just a, hey, this is really cool. And then promptly, you know, I, Shoebox Project fandom kind of dived down when the story stopped updating and I, you know, moved on to other things. And then in spring 2010, I can't remember how, but like I found a link to some podfic somewhere and I don't even remember what story it was. I don't remember what the link was. I feel really bad because I really wish I could remember how I got into podfic, but I have no idea. All I know is that it happened sometime in early spring 2010. And I was like, wait, what is this podfic thing? This is amazing. And I started downloading podfics and a couple of podfics. And it was really at the time like a revelation for me because when I was younger, like when I was like a kid, I had a bunch of like audiobooks, like books on tape of my favorite like books, and I have like a mild learning disability. Well, it's kind of tied in with I have severe ADHD, and part of it is that a weird subtype of it, and part of it is that I read really, really slowly. And so for me to sit down and read, you know, like a 50,000 word fic, like that takes me a really long time. And so when I discovered podfic, I was like, wait, I can listen to podfic out, I don't know, in traffic or doing my dishes, or I can do other things and still consume fic. Like, it was, being such a slow reader, that was just, like, a revelation. It was so incredible. And I started, like, getting really into it really fast. And I think I made my first podfic about, I got into it that spring, and then I made my first podfic that fall.
It's funny that you use the word revelation, because I feel like as I like look at the way people respond to podfic, there's like kind of people are tend to respond pretty extremely, and like some people like act like it's totally weird and like squicky almost.
Not almost. Some people actually call it squicky.
People have said they have a podfic squick or a voice squick. That's true. But some people are a little bit less intense than that. But like, they react like really negative, like revulsion almost. But then some people, a lot of people react just like you said, like it's a revelation in one way or another.
Yeah.
It's just like this, whoa, this is like, it's like world changing.
For me, it was just like so incredible because it was like this thing where I was like, because, like, that's a thing for me. Because I read so slowly, like, I would be really hesitant to sit down and, like, oh, my God, this fic is so long. But for me, a 14-hour podfic is so much less intimidating than, like, a 100,000-word fic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So to listen to that, it just, like, made the way I consume fic, like, it changed it.
I love how the three of us have, like, such a different reason for getting into podfic. Like, for me, it was this convenience thing, and oh my god, it made my life easier because now this boring job that I had is amazing and fun. And I know there's a lot of other people that, yeah, they do boring things while listening to podfic, and suddenly those things aren't boring anymore. And that's a motivation for a lot of people. And then you've got like Bessie and others who are like, it's sort of an accessibility thing where I wouldn't be able to consume this on my own, or it would take me so much longer, or it would be, it just really adds to the way that you can consume it. Because, like, if you are a fan with a disability, say a visual one, like, there are screen readers, but having someone read it to you is so much.
It's not the same.
No, very different.
Like, obviously, it's really different for me, like, with the accessibility thing. Like, you know, I read slowly, like, you know, oh, wine more. But, like, that is definitely an accessibility thing, but I think it's true that it's even a different, like, even more intense accessibility thing for somebody who, yeah, would, like, have to use a screen reader or something otherwise, because I don't have to do that, but if, I can only imagine, like, how amazing it was for me, given how, like, mild my learning disability is. Like, I can only imagine what it would be like for somebody who, like, had a legitimate, like, I don't know, legally diagnosable or whatever you want to say, like disability that really strongly affected their life. Because I don't consider mine, it's just a more mild annoyance, you know? But, like, I can only imagine, like, you know, not being able to read fic without a screen reader, how much something like Podfic would change that for you.
I love, too, that, like, KLB's coming in here being like, is this amazing art? Which fits so well with how I know her.
Well, it's also, I was wondering how you're going to describe how it was for me. And I felt like, for me, it's like, it's really like an emotional connection thing that it, like, comes from this really... It's funny because I think about my closest friends in fandom who I don't live near, and the way that we communicate with each other that, like, feels the most emotionally impactful to me is sometimes they'll record me a voice letter. You know, they'll, like, sit on their phone and they'll record me a voice memo for, like, an hour, and I feel, like, so connected to them in those times. It's just like this really intense connection for me that I get through voice, that I don't get through written words.
There's also something, I mean, the difference between writing and speaking is so vast. I mean, like, I know I'm not a writer, and, you know, again, related to my learning disability, writing's super hard, but, like, speaking, I could, like, speak forever and ever and ever. So the ability to, like, use my voice to contribute Spanishly was really a strong... I felt like, oh, I can contribute something to fandom, and it's not the written word. It's something that I'm good at. And it was a good feeling, you know?
Well, I'll come into that because the creator side of Podfic, I felt similarly, not that, like, I have difficulty reading, although I haven't written fic and don't feel like I probably will. But for me, I had a theater background, and I really had wanted for years, I regretted, like, my life path. You know, I mean, like, I wish I had done something where I'd stuck with theater or had, like, some acting in my life. And then, like, Podfic came along as an opportunity for me. And I feel, like, totally fulfilled now in terms of someone, like, said something to me the other day. Maybe I was talking on the phone to my dad today. And it was like, you know, do you ever wish that you had gone into theater in college like you had originally wanted to? And I was like, no, I'm really happy with my life now because, like, every single, like, need that I have to, like, express myself that way has an outlet through Podfic. So, you know, I feel, like, completely satisfied that, like, really important part of my, like, life or who I am or whatever through Podfic.
See, and it's really interesting that you say that because I'm a technical theater person, but as somebody who works in technical theater, I'm not in front of the curtain. I do all my stuff backstage, but I work with a lot of actors. And so the fun thing for me about Podfic is that I get to give my performance where I don't feel the need to – I love what I do, okay? I love my lighting work and my, you know, stage managerial work. But – and I don't feel the need – I've never felt the need to, like, actually step out in front of the curtain. But it is at the same time gratifying to be able to, like, give your performance, you know, especially being around theater people so much, to be able to contribute in your own way. And so this is kind of like my way of stepping in front of the curtain in a fulfilling way that allows me to do it just as much as I want to, basically.
That is super beautiful.
Meanwhile, I have, like, such completely different motivations from you two. Honestly, like, the reason why I Podfic is, and why Kate basically describes my entire existence in Podfic fandom, is I am the type of person that fills a need. So when I got into Podfic fandom, like, back in 2006, there wasn't that much Podfic at all, like, period. And I was in Stargate Atlantis, which is now one of the most Podfic fandoms out there. But back then, there just wasn't that much. And so I actually was like, well, I'm so desperate to listen to Podfic that clearly there's got to be some people out there that are willing to listen to my voice read it. Because I had no confidence in myself. I made one of the mistakes of, like, well, I have a lot of time to kill, so I should clearly choose a long fic. And I got 5 hours into it, edited, before I gave up. So that's, and, like, I've lost it now, so I can't even finish it. After that, I, like, took a long period of cooling off, and when I finally started podficking again, like, not just listening to podfic, but actually making it myself, I quickly got into American Idol, which there just wasn't enough to fill my week. So I started making it myself. And then I started looking around the fandom, and I'm like, well, let's run some comp, because everyone knows I'm running Pottaware. I run a ton of comps, and I'm like, yeah, so that's what I do, and I run things. And I enjoy it so much, but I love it. And that's kind of what I do, is like I see a need and I fulfill it. I've grown more into that with Podfic, where I really love the art of it and I want to try different things, but that's where I start from.
Let me tell you a slightly different version of that story, because I think the reason that you stuck in Podfic, it's like you say, but I don't think it's so much like filling a need precisely. I think why you love Podfic and why you've stayed with it largely is because it's such a beautiful place in like its evolution as an art form. It's not brand new. It's big enough that there's a lot of like people interested, but it's small enough that there's so many different places to go, and you can really like be experimental with it constantly, and like you can really like do all these cool things with it, and shape it in all these interesting ways. It's like Podfic is like, you know, Podfic is like new clay.
Yeah, it is. That's definitely a part of it. Okay. Do you want to talk about tips and tricks for newbies getting into Podfic?
I guess the first thing is...
choose something you love, but also don't choose something hugely long, because that can be really discouraging.
Fair. I just think there's something like have, like aim high, like know what you want, and, like, also be okay with not reaching that the first time, you know? Like, realize that there's a lot that you can do with Podfic, and, like, there's a lot of ways that you can edit it, and there's, like, ways you can make it amazing. And then, like, almost, like, set yourself a limit. Like, I'm going to work on it for, like, this many days or this many hours, and then I'm going to be done. And I'm going to, like, decide that it's okay to release. Because you have to release fairly early. Because you need that, like, I think it's easy to stall out. You need the reassurance that people have listened to it, that they don't hate it, that, like, you're welcome in the Podfic community, which you will be.
Podfic fandom is so welcoming, people. Like, really, just ask, and there's so many people that will be willing to help.
I think you also need to identify, like, be like, I'm a person who makes Podfic. Like, you need to have that, like, self-identification, and, like, having done one helps a lot. And then, like, once you've done one, then, like, you can do the next one and try a little more on that one. But, like, don't spend too much time on any one at first, because you need to, like, not, in the words of the Slash Report people, you need to, like, not fail out of it, you know? You need to not, like, feel like it was too hard and give up. Just, like, do a bunch, and then, like, once you're in the habit of it, then you'll start playing around, and then you'll start, like, finding ways to make it better. But don't try to make the first one perfect. That is my really weird advice, considering who I am as a Podfic artist.
The other thing is, like, oh, my God, I see this so often. Do not hate on your voice, people.
Oh, my God. Don't be surprised. You're not going to like it at first. You will get used to it. You will like it.
Everyone has a beautiful voice. You just don't realize it. Everyone hates their voice when it's recorded, because it doesn't sound like the voice in your head. But the more you Podfic, the more you get used to it. You're gonna
love it. Like honestly, on a night that I can't get to sleep, the only thing that will get me to sleep is listening to my own voice. And I am not like a person who is like, wow, like, my voice is particularly amazing. It's more, like, so comforting, because, like, once I start to recognize it as me from all the hours of Podfic editing, like, to really, like, identify with it.
But, yeah, seriously, people, you have a good voice. Just go with it. And even if you don't love it, like, other people will.
Yeah. And that's the other thing that I always want to say to new people, that, like, your voice, your style, like, everything about the way you read and perform, there's going to be someone out there who listens to Podfic who that's, like, the perfect for. Like, and it doesn't even have to be because you're doing anything in a particular way. It just, like, hits them in the right way. It reminds them of, like, the way their mom or, like, their teacher read to them as a kid. Or, like, there's going to be someone for whom, like, your voice is a revelation. And like your podfic, like the way that only you could do it, there's like a person out there for whom it's perfect. So never be like, you know, oh, what do I have to add? Because like there's some person that like your podfic will mean everything to. It'll be the best they've ever heard.
Yeah.
No matter who you are, no matter how you perform it. There's some people who like a podfic that will do nothing for me. And then someone else will come along and be like, this like hit me so hard. It like changed my life. It was the best I ever heard.
The first Amplorecathon was again a revelation for me because there were ones like I didn't even like that story. And then people will be like, this is the most amazing story ever. And
yeah,
like, okay.
It's so what people respond to in terms of voice is so, it has so much to do with where they grew up, their life history, and like how they interpret the story and the characters, like, and like their processing speed. There's so much that's like idiosyncratic about it that there's just no, sometimes people are like, how do we make podfic better? Like, how do we make our podfic better? And there is no one answer. Cause what I've told you before, Patika, like the conclusion I came to after a lot of discussions like that are like, no matter what speed you read, it's too fast for some people, too slow for some people, and perfect for some people. You could speed up or slow down, and that would still be true. It would just hit different people. Like, no matter how much you emote, you're emoting too much for some people, perfect for some people, not enough for some people. And you could move that up or down. You can play with it. But ultimately, you just have to go with what feels best to you, what you like as a listener, because you're never going to be able to, like, and except for, like, making your sound quality clearer and stuff, you're never going to be able to just, like, straight improve it for every person because what people respond to is so idiosyncratic.
Yeah, definitely. I think something that can be fun, too, or make it a little bit easier is if you have friends who podfic, then try doing, like, a short-ish thing, like, with somebody. I've gotten at least two of my Spanish friends in real life into podfic by being like, hey, you want to do a collaborative podfic with me? And then they, you know, they get used to it kind of. And if I'm kind of the one being like, so here's how I do it and I can help you out. If you have somebody to sort of do it with,
yeah,
then that can be really helpful, I think.
I know for me, like, there can be a million tutorials out there, but nothing beats having someone show it to me.
Exactly.
That can be really useful. If that's an option for you, I totally suggest it.
And hey, you know what? There's if you don't know somebody, the Podfic community, it's so friendly. So if you post something on Amplificathon and just be like, hey, so I'm thinking of getting into Podfic, but I think I might need some help. Does anybody want to like work with me and help me out? You will probably get like 5 responses within like 24 hours.
There's also Podfic Tips that does that. And if you have a fandom specific comp, especially if your fandom, like, you know, Supernatural has a ton of podfic and Merlin too a bit, but there's still going to be people there that always want more. And I know, like, I run the American Idol podfic com, and if anyone even hints that they might be interested, I am all over that and being like, what can I do to help? What can I do?
Yeah, seriously, I can't stress, like, one of the things I love about the podfic community is that it's so friendly. Like, if you ask for help, so many people will step up to provide it.
I have two more things that have popped into my head while you're talking about this. One is don't go into podfic being like, I'm going to try one, and if people like it, I'll do another one. Because if you're waiting to see how people are going to respond, like, podfic is just not good in terms of comments. And if you've ever written fic before, you're going to be devastated by how few comments you get for podfic most of the time. Sometimes you're like, strike gold. Like, I happen to get 100 comments in my first podfic, and I've never gotten that much since. That was nice. Although disappointing for, like, every other, like, for the next 10, I was like, what is wrong?
I think I also got the most comments on any podfic I've ever done on the first podfic I did, too.
You can't figure out the alchemy of podfic comments. You just
can,
like, kind of predict, but, like, the story I'm doing right now, like, it's, like, super popular pairing, super popular story. Like, there is a listener base for this fandom. I personally have a listener base. You know, I have people who follow my journal and, like, tend to listen to my podfic. And even so, like, such crickets of response to it. But, like, it's kind of okay because you kind of go in knowing that, first of all, that was my thing. One, don't go in being like, I'm going to wait and see how people respond, and then I'll do more if people respond positively, because you're probably not going to get a ton of response. But the other one is line up a response for yourself. So have a friend who you know likes Podfic, have another Podficker who you happen to get into conversation with, have the author, if you do the author, you know, have there be somebody who you send it to beforehand, and you're like, can I have you listen to this and, like, tell me what you think, so that you get a response from somebody.
Yeah, and it's not even – I totally have done this before, and it's not even really, like, a beta listen, because you're not asking them to, like, look for mistakes or anything, but just – and, in fact, once you get into Podfic, you can totally do this with other Podficers. Like, I've done this a couple of times with Rena, who I'm pretty close to, and I'll just be like, hey, I'm going to send you a Podfic or two. You want to send me one? And we'll just be like – and we may, like, point out a couple minor things since they haven't been released yet. But we'll just, like, be like, hey, I really like how you did this one voice at this one point. And it's kind of almost like a mini concrete exchange, except, like, no pressure or anything. And it's just a personal little exchange. So if you know other Podfickers, you can ask to do, like, a little swap like that.
And even if you don't know other Podfickers, like, you know – I think I put my name on a list somewhere that I'd be willing to beta Podfic. I don't even know. But I've had, like, random, completely random people that I've never met before. We're not even in the same fandoms. And they've been like, hey, can you listen to my Podfic? And I'll be like, yeah, sure. Like, I've listened to all these fandoms that I don't even care about, because I'm not in that fandom, but I'll listen to it as a Podficker. And they just approached me. And, you know, I think I put my name on a list somewhere, and that's how they're finding me, but you don't even need to do that. If there's someone that you like, if there's another Podficker that you look up to, or even just another Podficker that you're semi-aware of, chances are, if you ask them, even if they can't do it personally, they can probably forward you on to someone who will.
Absolutely.
Like, because everyone is so super nice. Like, I know it's scary, but, like, it's scary emailing an author and asking if you can Podfic their work. This is not any scarier.
No. They don't even have to be a person in Podfic fandom. Like, they can just be a person who likes you as a person and will enjoy your reading. Because, like the person who I have listen for me, like, she doesn't beta at all. And it's not even – I call her my magic feather. I'm like, I feel really shitty about, like, something I've done, and then I have her listen to it, and she'll just, like, tell me what she sees in it. She'll be like, oh, my gosh, the part where you did this, like, I had this reaction. And just, like, having someone hear it and, like, tell me back their experience of it. Like, I love getting comments afterwards, and it's a little sad not to and everything, but, like, really that's all I need when I make the Podfic, is once she's listened to it and just said back, here's what I saw in the work you did, I feel seen, and I feel like that's what I was craving, and it's met before I even post it. And it makes such a big difference, because posting isn't this, like, angsty thing where I'm, like, waiting for, you know, to hear back.
I would warn maybe against, if you're doing it with a friend, if it's a friend that you have in real life, sometimes just be aware of them, because I have one friend who's, like, super supportive of my fandom stuff, but I send her my Podfic and she's like, it's really weird listening to you say this stuff. So, like, just...
Yeah, my friend is a fandom friend.
Yeah, so if it's a fandom friend, that's better. And, like, this friend is a fandom friend, but she just knows me so well that she finds it a little weird to hear my voice do this stuff. So just a little awareness.
And actually, I find that interesting, because one of the people who's, like, probably my main person, who's, like, my, you know, first listener, is, like, my one of my best friends in real life, who is also, you know, she's probably my main fandom person, but she's also my best friend in real life. And she's like, see, I listened to your Podfic, and, like, that doesn't even sound like you. Like, it's weird. Like, I know it's you, but it doesn't sound like you. And so she listens to it and she, like, doesn't hear me, which is really weird but kind of interesting.
And this is another thing to tell people who are thinking of getting into it and nervous about being identified. Like, it's pretty it makes it less likely that someone's going to identify you, because you don't sound like yourself when you're reading.
Yeah, no, you like, guys, seriously, this friend who I have, I've known her since we were in fifth grade. Okay, we've known each other, like, over a decade, so it's not like she doesn't even know. Best friend, known her, like, half my life, and she can't identify my voice in Podfic. So really do not worry about those things.
Because you know what? Obviously I've done a lot of podfics. I spend a lot of time editing them. I know what my voice sounds like when it's recorded. And then I remember once my sister was, like, filming a family video, and I'm, like, running around, and I was talking in the background. I'm like, who's that talking? And they're like, that's you. I'm like, no, I don't sound like that. I know what I sound like recorded. That's not it. And then it pans over, and it's me talking. I'm like, really? Because you sound different. And in my opinion, I thought I sounded stupider, but so much easier when someone gives you the words.
It's kind of like when you look at photographs of yourself, and sometimes you're like, oh, hey, it's me. And then other times you look at it, and you're like, whoa, is that me?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same thing. You know, there may be snatches where like you listen to your recorded podfic or other people listen to it and they're like, oh, I can kind of see it's you there. But for the most part, on the whole, I really, really highly doubt that anybody would like identify somebody in real life having just heard their podfic from their voice. For starting podficers, try choosing a fic where the author's on.
Given blank permission.
Right. So you don't have to worry about the whole, like, the stress of, like, contacting the author and asking if you can podfic their work, because that just entirely takes that step out and makes you reduce some of the stress.
Another thing that I noticed, there's a lot of, when I ran Multipodicity last year, there's a lot of people that they had never made a podfic before, and something about Multipodicity called to them that they, like, that was what finally let them do it. And I think part of it was the idea of, like, if I really screw up this podfic, at least there's another one out there.
Huh.
And so, you know, if you're really not sure, if you're not confident and you want a stepping stone, try repodding something. It that just means that if you make a mistake, I don't like the idea of people, but there is a conception out there of, like, if someone else has done it, no one else will do it. And I think part of that's just because people have so many choices of what they're going to do that if someone else has done it, they'll move on to something else on their list. But if you're really nervous, repodding can be a good baby step towards, you know, finding yourself too.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you go to any, like, most of the pretty much all of the members of Multipodicity are down with repod. They kind of have to be down with repodding. So, like, you could just go in there and pick one and go with it, and you don't have to worry about the podficker freaking out on you.
But I will say, if you're having a technical issue, it's not crazy, because people who've been doing podfic for a while know a lot of tricks. It's not crazy to be like, can you help me edit? Like, here's my file. Can you help me edit it?
Yeah.
And if it's something that's like a sound quality issue or a noise removal issue or something that, like, is fixable, if you just hand it to them, they'll probably hand it to you back fixed.
But be sure to, like, ask them, like, can you explain to me how you did this so that you can learn, you know?
Right, right. But I think that it can just be kind of overwhelming. I know a lot of people find, like, because podfic is twofold. It's performance and it's, like, all this technical computer stuff.
Yeah.
And so some people who, like, feel intimidated by the, like, equipment side of it, because, like, writing is a little bit more, like, you can just type into anything, you know, and there's not, like, all these, like, programs you have to figure out or, like,
right.
You don't have to, like...
You can do it with a pencil and a pen, and that's it.
Right. Yeah. So it's double. It's, like, one, don't worry too much about it, and two, like, people will help you. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to, like, do all the research on your own. You can really just be like, tell me how to fix this specific problem that I have. And someone who's in podfic will probably know, and they'll probably be able to help you pretty fast. And they'll be happy.
I think this really just comes all around to, like, the podfic community is so friendly. Do not be scared of the podfic community, because we are here to help you. We love you.
They're friendly in the specific way that they're all, like, really into this one thing.
Right.
And, like, they love to talk about it. And, like, if you come along and want to talk to them about it, they're like, yes, we love you. You're so interesting. What a great choice of topic. We really love to talk about this thing. So if you want to talk to us about it, you're going to get, like, only the most positive, friendly, enthusiastic responses, because we're like, yes, you're amazing. You're interested in such interesting things.
Just getting back to the tips and tricks stuff, one of the things that the first thing that I mentioned when someone's like, so I'm thinking about podficking, but I don't have a mic. one of my first things is you probably do. You just maybe didn't think about it. Like, a lot of smartphones have really high-quality recording features.
Yeah.
So you can just use that if you don't, like...
And a lot have a voice memo function now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also how many laptops these days come with built-in webcams that have mic?
Or if you have, like, if you have a karaoke machine, a lot of, like...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure...
Rock Band.
Rock Band mics, like, USB mics?
Yeah.
I started on a karaoke revolution mic, actually.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, I know it can be really intimidating that if you go and search to see what the Podfic fandom has been talking about mics, like, most of the people that start talking about it, they're like, so I'm looking to upgrade my mic, and you're looking at least $75 for one of the mics that are in these discussions, because those aren't the starting off mics that people are talking about. Those are the, like, I want to upgrade and I'm willing to shell out serious money
those
for it.
Those are people who, like, take it so seriously and they've been at it so long that they're like, you know what, if I'm putting this much time and energy into, like, making this art, I think I'm ready to, like, squeeze every bit of quality out of it that I can. But that's not where you should start.
Like,
you should not start by buying a nice mic. You should start by, like, do the crappy stuff that you're going to do first, and then get a nice mic when, like, you start to feel like I'm getting, you know, good at this.
Yeah, no, my first mic I bought online for, like, $12 plus shipping. Even if you don't have a mic anywhere, you probably know somebody who has a mic that you can borrow. Yeah.
My boyfriend has one for World of Warcraft.
My closing comments would be, if you like Podfic, the Podfic community loves you. Don't be scared of us. We are so friendly. Just come, and if you just say, hi, I like Podfic, you will get a outpouring of love being like, hey, we love Podfic too. What can we help you with?
It's so true.
I guess my closing comment is just that Podfic doesn't often get a lot of, like, a large outpouring of response from listeners, and sometimes it can get some, like, weird responses, though not normally to people's face, but, like, in anon memes and stuff. But to the people that Podfic works for, it is life-changing for them. Like, if 5 people listen to and adore your Podfic, it's just going to, like, it means so much to the people that it works for. And so... you know, on the topic of why we Podfic, one side of it is, like, even though the audience isn't necessarily that huge or that vocal, they're so, so appreciative and so, like, impacted and moved by the fan work that Podfic artists do.
It's like that song from that one musical, I'd rather be 9 people's favorite thing than 100 people's 9th favorite thing. That's really how I think of Podfic.
It's true. I think some people are bad at leaving feedback for reasons that we'll get into on the feedback day, but it often comes down to, like, because you're listening to it at a place where it's not convenient to leave feedback because you're away from your computer, that it doesn't get a lot of direct feedback, but there's a lot of people that will just really love you for it, and they might not come out specifically and say it. I have all these people that started following my journal, even though all I do is I know Podfic there, because they just love what I do, and that's, like, one of the ways that people show love. And, you know, a lot of people really watch their download counts as a way to show love. Like, comments don't have to be the be-all and end-all. I don't know, the minute that you can get into these conversations, and if you go and look for these conversations, because they're happening everywhere, you'll just see how many people love and adore Podfic. And you're a part of that if you are in that fandom.
Like, if you do Podfic, your voice is going to be the voice that, like, bring someone down from the edge sometime when they're having a terrible day and need to comfort them. Like,
yeah.
Your voice is going to be...
whispering them to sleep.
On a day that, like, they can't sleep and, you know, like, you're going to be the one that, like, your voice was what gave them what they needed. It's, like, this really profound and intense thing. And you probably, at least some of the people that you do that for, you will not know. But you have to trust it because it's happening. Because people listen to Podfic, that's what it does for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I kind of think of it when I post my Podfic, I'm like, it's comforting just to think that, you know, somewhere out in the world, somebody is driving to work and listening in to my voice, and maybe they're in a country that I've never even been to, but they're listening to my voice, and that's cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. I like to think that I have enough podfics out there now that, like, maybe, like, at every moment, like, on a given day, someone is listening.
I also love when you get those. When I see comments that aren't directed towards me, but someone is just making a comment of like, oh, I had a really rough day, so I put on this podfic and it made it better. And it's like, I did that.
Let me add to my final words to just say one thing, is that like you won't get a comment, you know, for something you worked really, really hard on. And then like you'll get this comment like a year later and someone will be like, oh yeah, I've listened to this like probably 100 times, you know? So like, it's just people who listen to podfic often re-listen.
Yeah.
So even if you're not hearing from someone, they could be listening to it like 20, 30 times, and it could be like a huge part of their life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always feel comforted that there's people out there who have listened as much time as I have put into editing, because I probably spend like, sometimes I spend an hour on 1 minute of editing. But then like if 60 people listen to that minute, I'm like, at least it's been listened to as much as I listened to it.
I guess what are my closing thoughts? Just that podfic is amazing. Again, I'm going to hammer home what we've talked about here, but podfic fandom wants you. We are going to love what you give us. And if you're thinking about it at all, just go for it. And don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to put what you have out there. Don't be afraid to confront people, because we want what you have to say. We want to listen to you. So just go for it, and we'll love you for it.
Can I add one more thing? Even if you feel like you're not ready to podfic, don't be afraid to jump into the community. I mean, hey, I would love for some more, like, graphics people to come start making covers. Or for just, even if you feel like the most you can do is just, like, comment on every podfic you listen to, that
oh
is
God.
A really valuable contribution to our community. Even if you don't feel comfortable podficking, jump into the community, because
we'll create more podfic by commenting.
Exactly.
Who, like, being enthusiastic about it. Every time I get a really enthusiastic comment, like, I want to go work on podfic, and half the time I literally do, like, open up a project that I'm working on right then, because it just, like, gives me that, like
yeah.
jolt of creative, of motivation.
And, you know, what you were saying, Bessie, about, like, even if you don't want to make podfic yourself, like, you know, Cybul, she's done some podfic, but she's a BNF, basically, in podfic fandom, and she's doesn't really make that many podfics. She just...
Yeah, but considering how active and strong a presence she is in the podfic community, I mean, she's known as the podbooking cover art person,
yeah.
you know?
And, you know, if you have graphics work, come talk to me, because I run a lot of cons that I don't have the graphic skill to support.
Yeah, no, like, basically, I've actually been coming in and doing graphics. That was actually one of the things that I noticed about podfic fandom when I first got into it. I was like, wow, there's not many graphics people here. So I started making covers, and then I started, like, doing some more stuff, and a bunch of people started coming to me and being like, hey, can you make my the graphics for this podfic thing or the other? And I'm like, sure, I'm happy to do it. But you know what? I'm one of the few graphics people in podfic fandom right now, and I would love for more of you to come join me. Let's make it a podfic graphics party.
Yes.
Or, like, if you want to, like, if you want to participate by, like, beta-ing or something.
Yes.
Or if you want to participate by, like, I don't know if anyone would want to do this, but if you're a person who just, like, likes fiddling, like, but doesn't like doing the creative side of it or doesn't have
right.
equipment.
Right.
If you
want to
help someone edit,
I'm
then,
sure
like...
podfic community will, like, love you forever and ever, and like
you would create more podfic by whoever you wanted, because like any podfic artist that you free up from having to edit will make like twice as much stuff.
Absolutely.
Like more than twice as much yeah. stuff, so you can like really pick exactly where you know you can make more of someone else's performance. If as a listener that's what you want, or like as a participator that's what you want to bring into the world.
And again, if you're an author and you want people to podfic your stuff, I mean, I'm going to talk about some more of them in the days to come, like blanket permission can go a long way. But if you go out there and be like, so I want to do a collaborative project, there would be so many people jumping at your feet for that.
If you're like,
yeah, no, it's absolutely true. Like
in like the pod together format, if you're like kind of like, oh, I was looking at pod together and I would really like love to experiment with writing something for performance. Like, would anyone be interested in getting in on that with me? The answer will be yes.
All right. And that seems like a good place to end.
Your host for this has been Patika.
KLB.
And Bessie Boo.
Have fun this week at Pod Aware. Bye.